Thank you all for tuning in to J Best For Real. This is your guy Jaden Best. I'll be coming to you. We're going to be talking about excuses. No more excuses. How you doing? It is 7:44. This is your man, Jaden Best. I'll be coming to you about excuses. No more excuses. All right, let's go ahead and get jumped into this thing. I'm going to go ahead and give us a quick prayer, and then I'm going to go ahead and jump in. Lord God, we thank you for this day that you have made. I thank you for allowing us to rejoice and be glad in it. I pray that from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet, oh God, that the words that proceed out of my mouth, oh God, is acceptable in your sight, oh God, as well as the meditation of my heart. I pray that the word that you give me, oh God, will help uplift your kingdom, oh God, will help encourage your people, oh God, will help encourage and inspire them to go beyond where they are, to not settle, to not be content, to not, oh God, just be okay with the mundane, be okay with the ordinary, oh God, but to go beyond the limits, oh God, for the sky is not the limit, oh God, especially if we've reached the stars already. So I thank you and I adore you. In your son Jesus' name I do pray, amen. Well, I thank you all for tuning in. Again, my name is Jaden Best. I'll be talking to you all today about excuses. Where to start? Well, an excuse is typically something that we as humans resort to whenever we're trying to get ourselves out of doing a duty or a responsibility. It is something that we use to escape the duties. As humans, sometimes we probably do it to get out of work or get out of a job that we know we're supposed to do. We might not want, we might have an opportunity that we don't want to take. There may be a door that's opened and we don't want to go through that door. There may be some things going on in the family with friends. Whatever the case may be, we resort to an excuse to get ourselves out of it. Or should I say, it is our, the easy way out. But we can't make excuses, especially in the 21st century. We're at a time now to where the creatives, the imaginative ones, the dreamers, the ones that can see beyond, that can see beyond now, they've become rare. It's almost as if they are becoming extinct. I think it's safe to say that because that we've lived in a world that's become so subjugated to technology that technology has now become the brain. Technology has become the intel, the interactions. It's become the brains. It's become everything that our world is centered around, and we've forgotten how to dream. We've forgotten how to imaginate things. We've forgotten how to illustrate things with our minds. We've forgotten how to create stories. We've forgotten how to just daydream and create things out of thin air, out of imagination, out of dreams, out of ideas even. And now, even when we do have a dream, we as humans, we've come into a point now to where we think that the dream is too big. And that is something that I've noticed heavily in the body of Christ. You know, a lot of times, you know, in the body of Christ, there's a lot of people that dream. There's a lot of entrepreneurs. There's a lot of people that go beyond just the ordinary. There's a lot of people that they take leaps of faith, as we call it, and they've started conferences and they've started businesses and they've started product lines and they've started having their own merchandise and things of that nature. They've started broadcasting. They've started marketing themselves, you know, in a way to show their creativeness. And even worldly, you know, there's a lot of times, you know, with the CBD and everything like that, everybody is starting to become creative with a lot of things that are common. And that's something that I've noticed too. We take common things and we create something that's uncommon. But with uncommonness, why can't we take uncommonness, create it to where it had eventually become something that's common? And, you know, I feel that whenever we are able to take the reciprocal of that, referring to taking the common, creating it to something uncommon, rather than creating something that's uncommon and it becoming common, whenever we're able to figure out that formula, I believe that we'll be able to be more prosperous. I believe we'll be able to want to and have that urge and have that desire, have that integrity, have the tenacity, we'll show that perseverance, we'll show that strength and the courage to keep on creating those things that have never been seen. If the Bible declares, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it enter into the heart of man what God has for us. If that's the case, if that's the type of God we serve, why can't we believe that for ourselves? Because see, we are a generation that we have to see it in order to believe it. We're like a monkey see, monkey do type generation. That's the type of seasons that we alter out of. Just like, for instance, in the wintertime, it's not considered a winter season unless we see snow. But it's still cold. It's not considered a fall season unless we see the leaves change color and they're starting to fall off the trees. But it's still fall season. It's not considered springtime unless we see the flowers begin to bloom and the bees begin to pollinate. But it's still springtime. It's not summertime unless we're starting to get out of school and everybody's planning vacations and everybody's going on trips with family and creating memories in the sun and out on the beach. But it's still summertime. So the point that I'm trying to make is that why is it that we can't create something and we can't imaginate things and we can't illustrate things that no matter what time it is, nothing can change it? Whether it's missing something, whether something's lacking, whether it's gained something, whether something is extra and something else is, you know, where there's more of an abundance in one area than in another, excuse me. When are we going to be able to create beyond those limits? When are we going to be able to say, okay, I know I have this idea, I have the blueprints. When are we going to go ahead and legalize those blueprints so that we can begin to patent our designs and patent our innovations and then get a team together that knows how to architecturally build it, that knows how to design it, that knows how to put the colors together, put the designs together, put the models together so that we can create something that this world has never seen? When are we going to start to believe in ourselves? And that's another thing that I've noticed as well, even with the body of Christ and with our generation in general, with the 21st century. It takes somebody else believing in us before we can believe in ourselves. We never stop to ask ourselves, what do we believe in that we possess? What is it that's within us that causes us to want to continue to show people what we can do? What is it in us that... And then on the contrary, that what is it in us that prevents us, that prohibits us, that barricades us, that blocks us from being able to reach our full potential? The Bible says God gave us not the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. Understand that you get your power after you receive the spirit of the Holy Ghost. So after you receive your power, then you got to understand that God loves us. You must first understand that God loves you. That's the first thing. God is love. The songwriter said that God is love, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So we got to understand that God is love. The songwriter Tasha Cobb says, love is who you are. Peace is where you are. Joy is where you are. But she emphasized that love is who God is. And with love, and see, the Bible also declares that perfect love casts out all fear. So you must first learn to love. First learn to love yourself and then love others. Because see, once you're able to love yourself, self-love is the most important love. I tell that to anybody and everybody that comes to face me. You must love yourself first. Because if you don't love yourself, then it's going to be hard for you to love anybody else. And if you can't love anybody else, how can you call yourself a child of God? How can you put yourself in the kingdom of God if you can't love his other creations? And that's another thing. I can't really remember the speaker, but I heard somebody else say that they noticed, and I've noticed this myself, that now we've stopped honoring and giving glory to the Creator, and we started focusing more on his creations. And that's the biggest thing. We think that we are the ones that get the glory. No, this is how I see it. God, I thank you for allowing me to be the vessel that you use to create this thing that is going to change the world. I thank you, God. I give you all the glory, God, for giving me the idea to create this next big thing. Not I did it all by myself. No, because see, even if you think that you did it by yourself, you had to find some connections for some people to be able to help you. You had to find somebody who trusted in your innovation, who trusted in your idea, who trusted in your blueprints, who trusted in your psychological process, who trusted in your imagination that said, okay, this person has something that could change the world, that could benefit my life, that could benefit your life, that could benefit everybody else's life who's involved or who comes in contact with this innovation. And so we got to understand, give God the glory. But we can't make excuses. Excuses, excuses, excuses. And see, the thing is, excuses come out of our mouth. So therefore, we're creating an atmosphere where we're the enemy. And then we blame it on God, or we'll blame it on the devil when it don't go our way. But we're the ones who put it in the atmosphere of procrastination. We put stagnation in the atmosphere. Then, once we are procrastinating and we're stagnant, then if somebody confronts us about it, we condemn them. We say that they're doing it wrong. We say that they shouldn't do this and they shouldn't do that. And we put them on that pedestal of, well, at least I'm doing this and at least I'm doing that. And the person is like, but I'm not the one who's not going forth with my ideas. I'm not the one who has trust issues. Trust issues, yes, you have trust issues within yourself if you're not able to continue on with whatever it is God has put in your heart. And I suffer from that. I suffered, should I say, from that. That's why I told you that I have to be consistent with being on J-Best For Real. I have to be consistent with being on Instagram Live. I have to be consistent with posting the word of the day. I have to be consistent with going on Snapchat every morning and posting an encouraging word. Because I understand that, first of all, I have to love myself. I have to first love God, love myself, then I have to love his people. Then once I love all three of those, then I have to be able to trust God, trust myself, and trust the people that he tells me to trust. Because with the ideas, the innovations, the imaginations, the inventions, the thoughts, the creations that I come up with, the blueprints that God puts in my mind, I have to understand and I have to know that because he put it in me, I know that I'm built to create it. I'm built to build it. And that's what we have to understand. Everything that you create, everything that you think of, God put it in you because you were built to build it. And I was actually I was at church yesterday, and God was speaking and revelating to me through the word that my pastor was talking about. He was saying he built his church on a solid rock. He built, the Bible says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So the church was built. The church is the people. The kingdom of God was built on a solid rock. Watch this. Watch this. So the church isn't what's supposed to grow. It's not what's supposed to, or should I say, it's not what's supposed to move. It's not supposed to be moved off the foundation, because once it's moved off the foundation or away from where it was built on the foundation, it creates deformities within the foundation. You might get a crack, you might have a hole or somewhere, and that's what's going to cause deformities. That's why whenever we do try to build something or we do try to create something within ourselves, we find ourselves sinking. We find ourselves falling back down, because we're falling into those cracks. We're falling into those holes that we created because we decided to move off the solid foundation that we were already built on. So whatever God puts in us is supposed to grow out of us. It's not supposed to be moved. It's supposed to grow out. That is how God gets the glory. That is how the kingdom is edified. That is how the kingdom is built. That is how we become greater. Because even the Bible says that the seed shall be greater. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he said that we shall be able to do these things and more. So not only are we supposed to be able to do the things that Jesus did when he was here, but we're supposed to be able to do beyond what he did within the 3 years that he was here. To create and to inspire and to deliver, set free, and heal. We're supposed to be able to do beyond that. So, with that being said, we're built on a solid foundation. And that is how we build our name. That's how we grow our name. Because what we create has our name attached to it. We're supposed to ensure that we stay within the foundation that God put us on. And when we create, that is what the people are supposed to see. They're supposed to see our name and know that God created us to build it. So, I just thank you all for listening. I hope that something that I said encouraged you. I hope that this is something that's going to push you to be better and to be greater. To give God all the glory, the honor, and praise that is due unto his name. And again, I thank you for tuning in to J-Best For Real. Be blessed.